Good morning again. I am so glad that you guys are signed in this morning and engaging online. And before we jump into what we're talking about this morning, I've heard a bunch of great stories this week of how you guys are staying connected. In fact, Jennifer Curry texted me a picture yesterday of how Betty Worthy did a drive-by visit at their house, which was pretty awesome to see. So, you know, I just want everybody to know, too, that Gary and Trey and myself, we're all social distancing in this room this morning. We're trying to do our part to stay apart, to stay healthy. I hope you're doing that as well. I just want to encourage you to kind of keep loving and serving one another. Keep being the church to one another. And as kind of you've seen posted on the Facebook page, hopefully, keep using this opportunity to kind of reach out and serve the people who are around you. Jamie's posting a bunch of missional moments on there, just ways for you to kind of reach out and serve. We're going to talk about that next Sunday as well. But I think we'd all agree that we've never experienced anything like we've experienced over the past few weeks. I mean, this is unprecedented, what we're going through. Even if you lived through World War II or Vietnam or the Cold War or, you know, Y2K or, you know, whatever it is that you've kind of lived through, our world has really turned upside down. And this is really just different for all of us. And it's not just different for us. I mean, this is a worldwide thing that we're going through. Yet, I thought about something this week, and that is that as you read through the Bible, you realize that even though what we're going through is unprecedented, that the world has been through chaotic times before. I mean, when you read through the scriptures, what you discover is that there are stories of plagues, there are stories of pestilence and financial insecurity and suffering and fears and hardships all throughout the Bible. And what that means is that the Bible really is written for times like this. And what we find as we read through those stories in Scripture is we find wisdom and we find encouragement and we find comfort and hope and instruction about how not just to survive times like this, but how we can thrive through times like this. And that's why, as I say all the time, the best habit you could ever develop is the habit of reading God's Word on a daily basis, that you should be continually diving in to God's Word for some of that wisdom and comfort and help in these crazy times. And with that in mind, I want us to look at some instructions from the Apostle Paul that might be a little more relevant today than they ever have been, especially for those of us who've grown up in America. If you have your Bible, I'd love for you to open up to Colossians 3. Colossians is a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul to a group of Christians who are living in Colossae. And let me tell you a little bit about that city. Before Paul wrote them a letter, the city was extremely prosperous. I mean, it was prosperous for a long time, but by the time Paul got there and he planted a church and then he was in prison and he wrote them this letter, that prosperity had disappeared. They had lost their prominence. They were struggling. And the letter that he writes to the church there, I think, is extremely practical. It's one of Paul's most practical letters. It's only four chapters. I encourage you to read it sometime this week. But we're only going to focus on first three verses out of chapter 3 this morning. But before we get to those verses, I want to ask you a question. Look at this question for a minute. The question is, what consumes your thoughts? Now, I'm not talking prior to what it is that we've been going through over the past few weeks, but just think about the past 3 or 4 weeks. What has been consuming your thoughts over the past few weeks since our world has been turned upside down? See, my answer to that question, or my answers to that question, are really all over the place. I kind of listed them out, you know. One of the things that consumes my thoughts is, like, what are the latest COVID-19 updates? You know, I'm always checking the live updates, seeing what's happening around the world, what the president said, what the governor said, what people who don't like the president said. I mean, all that kind of stuff. Another thought I've had is, you know, I wonder how many quarantine babies we're going to have at Hub City Church. No, never mind. I won't go any further. Another thing, I'm kind of burdened by those of you who've lost jobs. I mean, that consumes my thoughts. I fret over the amount of time my boys are spending on the Xbox. Yes, I'm talking to you, children. I wonder If we'll ever, or if I'm gonna ever see toilet paper at Costco again, you know, it's like, you know, it's my favorite toilet paper. But what about you? What consumes your thoughts? See, this morning we're gonna talk about what it is that we think about. Because I don't know if you realize it or not, but we become what we think about. And so many times what consumes our thoughts are not the things that should be consuming our thoughts, especially if we call ourselves followers of Jesus. And throughout Scripture, the Bible has so much to say about our thoughts. It has so much to say about what we think about. I mean, Paul in one place says to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. But we're going to look at something Paul says about our thoughts in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. So here it is. Let's put it up here on the screen. And in verse 1, he says this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Now, I want to stop there for just a minute. And notice that the first thing that Paul tells us, who those of us who call ourselves Christians, that's who he's writing to here. He's writing to Christians. The first thing he tells us is that we have been raised with Christ. That is, that this is Paul's way of reminding us of a very, very important truth. And that is that before we became Christians, we were spiritually dead. That is, we had no life in and of ourselves, that we are spiritually dead. But because of what Jesus has done for us, we have been raised from the dead. We have been raised to life in Christ. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so now have we been raised to spiritual life. We've been moved from a position of spiritual death to now having a position of spiritual life. And this has huge spiritual implications for all of us. I mean, being moved from one who's spiritually dead to being one who's spiritually alive, and that's has enormous implications. But this doesn't just have spiritual implications. It has enormous practical implications for you and for me. Theologian David Guzik says that because we were raised with Christ, we should act as Jesus did when after his resurrection. In other words, since we are no longer spiritually dead, And since we have been raised with Christ, we need to live like it. We need to live differently than we did before. And I've got a couple of ways that we should live differently. First, we need to live as if we're spiritually alive. A lot of times we let fear and we let worry and we let the uncertainty of what's going on around us kind of consume us instead of living as people who are spiritually alive. That no matter what happens, we follow the God who's conquered death, and we are no longer spiritually dead, but we are spiritually alive. We need to live that way. It should give us confidence. It should give us hope. We need to live our lives with and in service to others. We need to live our lives with and in service to others. Now, I know that's a little bit different these days since we can't be with others physically. We have to be a little creative in this. That's why I love the picture of the drive-by visit that Betty did with the Currys yesterday. But we need to figure out how to live our lives with and in service to others. Because Jesus, that's what he did after his resurrection. We need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you think about it for just a minute, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you and me. We sing a song about that sometimes. That we who call ourselves Christians have the very power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so we need to live that way in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we need to live as citizens of heaven. See, a lot of times we forget that we are not citizens here, that our citizenship is actually in eternity with God. We are strangers and aliens here, and our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. And we need to live that way. That should encourage us. That should motivate us. That should kind of kick us in the butt to kind of live for eternity, to live not in fear, to live not in worry, but to live with confidence and with hope. So Paul reminds us first and foremost that you and I who call ourselves Christians, we have been raised with Christ. But then he goes on and tells us something really practical that we are to do in order to live as those who have been raised to life in Christ. Look at what he says in verse 2. He says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, since we're no longer spiritually dead, but since we have now been raised with Christ, We need to set our hearts, that is our emotions and our passions and our enthusiasm, on things above. And we need to set our mind, that is the things that we think about, on things above. We're to set, that is that we have to be intentional about it. It doesn't just happen. We have to work at this, to set our mind and our hearts on things above. But the question is, what are these things above that Paul's talking about here? Well, a lot of times when we think about things above, we think about maybe heaven. But he's not talking about heaven here. Let me show you what he's talking about. Things above are Jesus, his way, and his agenda. See, when Paul writes and tells us to set our heart on things above and to set our minds on things above, he wants us to set our hearts and our minds on Jesus, on his way, and on his agenda. And that is that he's talking about focusing our hearts and our passions and our attention and our thinking on Jesus, his way, and his agenda. And it's not that earthly things are bad. I mean, that sometimes we need to focus on earthly things, but the truth is those are a distraction for so many of us. They distract us from Jesus and from his way and from his agenda. So we're to focus on Jesus. That is, we're to focus on who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God who died on the cross and rose from the dead, that he actually died the death that we deserved to die, and that he conquered death by rising from the grave. We focus on Jesus. We set our hearts on his ways. That is, we focus on living the life that he's called us to live. This is why it's so important that we not just read through the New Testament, but that we actually do what it is that it tells us to do, that we focus on living the life that Jesus would live if Jesus were living our life. That's what it means to focus on his ways. How would Jesus live if he were living your life in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis? That's how we should live. That's focusing on his ways. And then we should focus on his agenda. That is, we focus on the things that God is concerned about. I think if we're honest, most of the time we're focused on what we're concerned about instead of focusing on what it is that God is concerned about. So what is God concerned about? What is God's agenda? Well, it's really his will, his kingdom, and his glory. It's his will, it's his kingdom, and it's his glory. And I know this might be uncomfortable for you because it's a little uncomfortable for me, but God is more concerned with his will and his kingdom and his glory than he is with your comfort or with my comfort. That's because God prioritizes his agenda. So, as Paul says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your heart, set your mind on Jesus, on his ways, and on his agenda. And then here's why. Look at verse 3. I love how he doesn't just tell us to do something. He tells us why we should do it. He says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." To which we go, whoa, time out, Paul. I'm not dead yet. I mean, I might die, and this disease might kill me, or something else might kill me, but I'm not dead yet. So what do you mean? Well, he says that now those of us who were spiritually dead and who have been brought to spiritual life, we actually are dead to our old self. We have died to ourselves and our agenda and our wills and our purpose. And now our life is hidden with Christ in God. See, I love that phrase, that that our new life is intricately linked with Christ in God. And what I love is Paul says the same thing in Galatians 2:20. Look at this verse. This is one of my favorites. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live in the body. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I mean, think about what Paul says here. Is that true of you? Do you live like this? Do you live in such a way as one who has been crucified with Christ, and that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you? That's exactly what Paul's getting at here when he tells us that our life is now, we are dead, and that our life is now hidden in Christ. Well, so what? Well, I want to give us a few things to do in light of what Paul tells us here. And I want you to spend some time thinking through these. And I'm going to give you an opportunity later on today to post on Facebook what you're doing out of this list, how you're kind of putting what it is that we've talked about into practice. But for some of you, what you need to do is you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe in the middle of this crisis, you've realized that you've known some things about God, but that you don't ever remember a time where you began a relationship with God. But Jesus came so that you might have a relationship with God. That's why he died on the cross, is to make a way for you to have that relationship with God. And I just want you to know that you were created by God in order to have a relationship with God. And that was made possible by what Jesus has done for you. And some of you, that's what you need to do. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. Others of you, I want to suggest that you do a media fast. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about when I say a media fast. I'm talking about taking a little bit of time every day and a 24-hour segment of time every week where you kind of turn off the news, you turn off social media, you kind of disconnect from all of the voices that are out there so that you can listen maybe to your own thoughts or listen to the thoughts of God, but that you disconnect, that you fast from media for a little bit of time every day and for a 24-hour period of time each week so that you can set your heart and your mind on things above. The reason we don't set our hearts and our minds on things above is because we have our hearts and our minds set on everything else, right? And it makes sense because there's so much information out there. It changes by the second. I mean, I saw this morning that Trump's talking about quarantining New York City. I mean, that's crazy. We can't even fathom that. And some of you from the South are like, it's about time, right? But the truth is, those kind of things can consume our thoughts. But we need to kind of disengage and disconnect so that we can set our hearts and set our minds on things above. And that means you need to put your phone down. That means you need to turn the TV off. Go for a walk. Do something else for a little bit. Pick up a book. Pick up scripture. Read it. But take a media fast. Another thing that I want to encourage you to do is to read the book of Colossians. Like I said earlier, this is such a rich letter. Paul has so much to say to us through this letter. The first two chapters are really this theological premise about who Jesus is. And the last two chapters are really practical information about how to live out our lives in light of who Jesus is. But read through the book of Colossians. Maybe read it a couple times or three times. Let God speak to you. Feed yourselves spiritually. One of the things that we're going to have to do during this time where we're disconnected from in-person contact is to figure out how to feed ourselves spiritually. And that's why I want to encourage you to read Colossians. And then I want all of us to memorize Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. See, I think the best way for us to change what it is that we think about is to memorize and meditate on God's Word. And these verses we looked at this morning are a great place for all of us to start, because we need to remember that we have been raised with Christ. We need to remember that we need to set our hearts and our minds on things above and not on earthly things. So, in light of this last one, I want us to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 together out loud wherever you are, okay? That means out loud wherever you are. That means with your voices talking, not silently in your head. So here we go. You ready? Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I want you to memorize that this week. Meditate on it this week. Marinate in it this week. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to kind of look at your word together. First off, I just want to thank you that we have been raised with Christ, that you have moved us from a position of spiritual death into a position of spiritual life, not because we were good enough, not because we prayed the right prayer, or we did the right things, but all because of you, Jesus, and what you did on our behalf. I'm so grateful for that. I want to thank you for this encouragement to set our hearts on things above and to set our minds on things above. And so often, our hearts and our minds aren't set on things above. Our hearts and our minds are set on the here and now, on news, on our social media feeds, on anything and everything else except Jesus and His way and His agenda. This week, would you help us to discipline ourselves, to be intentional about setting our hearts and our minds on things above, that we would set our affections and our passions and our thinking on Jesus as the Son of God who died and rose from the dead, on His ways, on living the life that He would live if He were living our life, and on His agenda, His kingdom, His will, and His glory. I'm looking forward to hearing how you're going to work in our hearts this week as we put this into practice. Help us to live differently as your followers. We're going to sing you a song, Jesus, because we love you and we worship you. Look down on us right now and smile. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.